Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to It's Rainmaking Time. This is Kim Greenhouse, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome Dr. Catherine Albrecht to It's Rainmaking Time. Dr. Albrecht is the author of a major blockbuster critical book called Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Governments Plan to Track Your Every Purchase and Watch Your Every Move. This is a book that all of you need to have, every one of you, no matter what your beliefs and opinions are. You need to understand this technology and how it's being used and what it's about. But also, recently, I found out that Dr. Albrecht is head of media relations for a wonderful up-and-coming company called StartPage.com. It's a new search engine that does not track all your information. But I'm not the one to tell you about it. Please welcome Dr. Catherine Albrecht to It's Rainmaking Time. Good morning.
Hey, Kim. It's a delight to be on your program, and I'm so glad that you're giving a forum for these really important issues that I think not only affect us all now, but as people become more aware, I think they're going to be affecting us more and more in the future.
Let me just tell you how I first began to be concerned about what's happening with search engines. I had a client who worked at JPL, who I was servicing in 2007, and he shared with me that Google purchased 1 million square feet on JPL's property. And of course, JPL is NASA, and I wondered why. I'm not a paranoid person. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I consider myself very good at doing due diligence, connecting of the dots, and doing intelligence gathering on a basic level. It didn't feel right to me. And now I find out that the National Security Agency and Google are, in fact, coming up with an agreement together. So that leaves me to finding out about this new search engine and really what it's about. I'd love to talk about it and have you share with the public why you're head of U.S. media relations.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, and the reason why I sought out StartPage, and let me spell it for people. It's Start, like S-T-A-R-T, and the way to remember it is start protecting your privacy, because it's what we haven't been doing for the last decade, startpage.com. And the reason I actually sought this company out was about a year ago. I heard the news through the media that Google had been identifying people who had the flu on the basis of their searches. Now, I found this extraordinarily creepy, that you log on to Google to look something up. You think of them as helping you. You think of you as being in the driver's seat, and here's just this tool you're going to use, kind of like going to encyclopedia or a dictionary and looking something up. But the reality, as I discovered to my horror, is that it doesn't quite work that simply, that those guys are actually watching us. And I don't mean to single out Google. You can also talk about Yahoo. You can talk about Bing. You can talk about Ask.com or really any of the major search engines out there. They're all doing this. And what they're doing, they make a record of every search that you make. So every search term you enter onto the internet, they record. They record it along with your IP address, which identifies your computer, your machine that you're logging in from, or at the very least, your location. And if you use any other services like Yahoo, Yahoo Mail or Gmail or anything else that identifies you, then it all gets linked into a sort of an Uber file. It's kind of the master file on you. And in understanding the level of the dossier of information that they have on us, it's a 360-degree view of our lives that these companies have now created. And when I say a 360-degree view, I mean these search engine companies know more about us than our coworkers. They know more about us than the IRS or the FBI. Their level of information about us is more than any individual entity in the entire history of the human race has ever known. This is the kind of thing that would have made the KGB or Hitler or, you know, Stalin under Soviet Union under Stalin. Those guys would have done anything to get us, anyone, you know, the people in their countries to reveal as much about themselves, their political interests, their hobbies, their intellectual pursuits, all of the things that we type in there. They would have given anything to have that kind of information. And in fact, the KGB, you know, they set up spies and entire agencies to try to find this information, whereas we just type it into Google for free. You know, it's interesting, when you think about these companies, when was the last time a multi-billion dollar company like Google or Yahoo or Microsoft, when was the last time they gave you all of their products for free? you know, Gmail is free, Yahoo Mail is free, Hotmail is free, you know, all of these services that they're making available, Google Street View, Google Maps, Google Calendar, Google Groups, they give you all this stuff for free. And so you got to kind of scratch your head and say, well, how do they do that? And the answer is those are not the products. That's the bait. And the bait is designed to lure you in to type in your most intimate interests so that they can then use that and turn you into the product and sell you back to their marketers. And where this becomes even more disturbing is Google CEO Eric Schmidt recently revealed in an interview with CNBC, a television interview during that big Google special they did a couple months ago. He said, if you don't want us to know what you're searching for, you shouldn't be doing those searches in the first place. That we do record everything that you search for, and we will turn it over to the federal government in response to a Patriot Act request if we're asked. And you may say, well, gee, that's not going to affect me. I'm not doing anything illegal. Well, let me point something out. Back about a year and a half ago, that MIAC report, the Missouri Information Awareness Center report, which is information awareness centers are these kind of creepy law enforcement sort of clearinghouses of information. And they exist in states all around the country. But the Missouri one actually was leaked to the press. And Alex Jones and later an activist by the name of Catherine Bleich brought attention to it, and Catherine fought back and got them to rescind the report. But the report itself was chilling. What they said in the report, which was designed to identify potential domestic terrorists, you know, that's pretty scary stuff, and those people could be subject to a Patriot Act request. Those people that they identified as potential domestic terrorists were people who had an interest in third-party candidates like Chuck Baldwin from the Constitution Party or Ron Paul, who ran as a Republican. You know, that anybody who were interested in those candidates was a potential domestic terrorist. I mean, that's ludicrous. That's insane. And that's a huge swath of millions of law-abiding, you know, patriotic, home-loving Americans. They also identified people with an interest in the Constitution or people who had taken a position on either side of the abortion debate or people who, I mean, the list just went on. And where it really chilled me is they said people who have an interest in RFID. And I said, well, we all should have an interest in RFID. Obviously, that includes me. I've written a book on the topic, a best-selling book, devoted 7 years of research to this topic. And because of that, now I've got these law enforcement folks saying that I'm a potential domestic terrorist because I want to point out a privacy threat by a really insecure and dangerous technology. So when you put all that together, and you say, okay, so I'm not doing anything wrong, but you know what? The people who voted for Chuck Baldwin or Ron Paul weren't doing anything wrong. I wasn't doing anything wrong when I wrote our best-selling book, Spy Chips, about RFID. And yet, according to that document, all of us, you know, tens of millions of us across the country are, quote, potential domestic terrorists. So why does that matter? It matters because these big search engines, Yahoo, Bing, Google, all of them, are able to pinpoint and identify who has those interests. So let's say, I'll go back, let me go back to my original example, the flu. So Google came up with this, they made a bet with the Centers for Disease Control, and they said, we bet you that we can identify the location of a flu outbreak before you can, before the federal government can.
That's frightening.
And the way we can do it is we have our pulse on everything that's going on in the minds and bodies of all of America, because they type it all into our search engine. And they came up with an algorithm that said if they saw certain combinations of searches in the same search session or over, you know, a span of a certain period of time, that they could identify who actually had the flu based on what they were typing in. And this is sheer conjecture, but let's say, for example, you looked up Robitussin, chicken soup recipes, and your company's policy for days off from work. You know, then at that point they might say, oh, well, here's somebody who probably has the flu. And at that point they were like spiders waiting in the web for you to type in your certain combination. And then they went, bingo, got another one. They would hone in on your address. They would figure out your IP address, which identifies your location and possibly your computer and your identity. And then they would put a red dot on a map. And after they had a whole bunch of these dots on the map, they said, oh, well, here's some emerging locations where people have the flu. It looks like we're having an outbreak in, you know, this community. And then they shared that information with the Centers for Disease Control. Now, they did not share people's names. They didn't share their IP addresses or their personal information, but there was absolutely no reason they couldn't have. They absolutely could have. And I got to thinking to myself, what if at that point the Centers for Disease Control had said, well, we've got to do a mandatory vaccination program of anybody who has the flu, or a mandatory quarantine. then you could literally have typed in those three search terms into Google and gotten a knock at your door the next day, and as you open your door, there's three policemen and a guy in a white lab coat with a syringe in his hand saying, step out of the house, ma'am. You know, this is the potential that we've given them. It's mind-blowing to think of how much we reveal about ourselves into these search engines every single day. And then when you look at the political interest in that information, it gets even creepier. The Chinese government, you know, this big hack of Google that happened in January that had everybody so freaking out, including Google itself, you know, what was the hack? Well, it was the Chinese government wanting to know more about dissidents. They know that the repository of information is Google. They are the number one repository of information on planet Earth right now. And so, you know, if you want to figure out something about person X, or if you want to identify every person in your country with an interest in topic Y, the obvious place to go is Google. The obvious hack to commit is to hack into Google systems. And in the United States, they wouldn't even need to do the hack. They would just simply have to turn over a Patriot Act request and say, tell us everybody in the country who owns a handgun. Or tell us everybody in the country who, you know, looks up secession as opposed to Lady Gaga. You know, I mean, it's a pretty clear line into what's going on in people's heads based on their Google searches or their Yahoo searches or their Bing searches. So for that reason, I finally said, you know, 10 years as a privacy advocate, I've been using Google. I have been pretending like these problems didn't exist because I thought that if I ever really opened my eyes to them and became aware and actually accepted the fact that this company is invading my privacy, that I'd have to quit my job. I mean, I couldn't do my research. Finally, in desperation, I said, that's it. I give up. I'm not using Google anymore, and I will find an alternative. So I combed the Internet, and I finally found a company that meets every one of my criterion for being privacy-friendly and ethically above board. I love this company. It's called StartPage. They are an offshoot of a European company called IxQuick, which is I-X-Q-U-I-C-K. They have been in business for 10 years. They have been subjected to a 6-month audit by the European Certifying Authority organization called Europrise. And in Europe, they take privacy very, very seriously. In fact, there are laws that very tightly govern what claims you're allowed to make about your data handling. And if you violate those laws, you're subject to incredible penalties over there. This company has been audited by them. They've gotten the highest possible ranking for total privacy, and they do not make a record of any of your searches. So even if there were a Patriot Act request, well, first of all, they're in Europe, so a Patriot Act request wouldn't hold. But even if they could, there would be no information for them to turn over because they literally do not know who uses their service. They don't know what people search for. They don't have your IP address. They don't record any of that, and that's startpage.com. So I'm an enormous fan. If you go to startpage.com, two things. Right on the homepage, StartPage just introduced a new proxy service, which is a whole nother level of privacy, which means not only can you search privately, but you can actually go to the websites that you find from your search privately and anonymously without even the websites themselves knowing that you've gone to them. And that is when you do a search at StartPage, you look up whatever your topic is. When you get the results back, click on the word proxy at the bottom left of each result, and StartPage will go out to that website, grab the information for you, load it on its servers, and then serve them back to you, thus creating a buffer between you and that third-party website. So the website can't see you, they can't put cookies on your browser, they can't track you, they can't identify your location, nothing. You're invisible to them. All they see is StartPage. So it's a cool service. The other thing, and if people want to see me in a video, right there under proxy on the right-hand side of startpage.com, there's a link. And if you click that link, click here for more information. That's actually me describing the proxy, showing you how it works. And the other thing you can do is you can add StartPage to your browser. There's a link right there on the homepage that says add StartPage to your browser. When you click it, it goes up in that upper right-hand corner, that little window where you can type your search term in. You just pull down the menu and click StartPage, and it'll do the search automatically from your Firefox or your Internet Explorer, your Chrome, or whatever you're
using. That's great.
It's a good service.
How are they doing, and how do they stay in business?
Well, this is the interesting part. They're actually funded by advertising like everything else on the Internet that's free. Every search result that you do will return one between 0 and 3 sponsored results. They're up at the top. They're clearly labeled. And the interesting part of this is they're actually Google Ads. But this is a great opportunity to explain something else about Google that's bad and that's good about Startpage. Startpage is the only company on the internet that runs Google Ads, believe it or not, but does not reveal your information to Google. So there's literally nothing. Google doesn't know who's seeing their ads. They don't know. They can't serve them up personally because they don't know your information. But what I learned as I was trying to figure all of this out, all of the websites out on the internet except for Startpage that run Google Ads actually send your information back to Google. And let me explain that to you.
Please.
Let's say you're cruising along and you land on a, I don't know, we're both girls, so let's say you land on a shoe website, you know, selling shoes or jewelry. And on that website, there's an ad for something else. That ad, if it says sponsored by Google, creepily enough, that website is under contractual obligation to tell Google that you were on their website, even if you didn't click the ad, even if you didn't do anything. Every single website on the internet that has an ad by Google, other than Startpage, will tell Google that you were on their page. Which
That's
means not
terrible.
Only does Google know, yeah, not only does Google know everything you search for on their search engine, but you can't get away from them because if you land on any other page on the internet with a Google ad, Google now knows your interests. So any website, literally every single website on the internet except for Startpage that has a Google ad is essentially serving as kind of a spy. It's like a KGB spy. And they're saying, oh, we saw her here. We saw her here at 3 p.m. She clicked on these four links. Yep, and she bought a bracelet. We know that. And they will report that back to Google.
Very creepy.
Shocking stuff. And by the way, the Google ad part, when I first found that out, because they're actually under contract with Google, you know, and that contract is of a certain duration, et cetera, but I actually was so concerned about that I signed a non-disclosure agreement, and I actually read over their lengthy contract with Google, and it's absolutely true that they do not reveal any information to Google about the people on their websites. There's nothing sent back to Google, which I thought was awesome.
What if Google cuts off Startpage?
You know, that would be obviously a question where Startpage would need to find alternative advertising. But given that they've got, you know, that contract of a set duration, I'm not sure what's going to happen on that front. But Startpage is looking into offering other services.
Yes.
We're looking into possibly offering email and, you know, possibly some paid services down the road. But, you know, the reality is that Google really is the 800-pound gorilla of the internet. You know, they control the advertising market. I just read a statistic recently that Google has something like 20 times more in advertising income than, I'm trying to think whose it was, some entire print advertising empire. You know, they're really, right now, if you want to advertise a service, most people go straight to Google because Google is doing all of this very potent individual marketing. Mm-hmm. You know, they're identifying what you like, what you're interested in, and so they can serve the exact, you know, ads to you that would be relevant. Let me give you another example. Most people using Gmail, I would not have a Gmail account. I never have. And I'm a signer on a letter opposing Gmail from a couple of years ago by a whole coalition of privacy organizations. And the reason for that is Google reads all your email.
I know.
If you have an incoming or an outgoing Gmail account or a message, Google scans it and they look for keywords. So if you say, you know, I'm looking forward to playing tennis this weekend before leaving for my Miami vacation, you can find yourself the next day on some totally unrelated website. You could be on, you know, the dog adoption website. And you say, how do they know I'm going to Miami? There's an ad there for a vacation package in Miami complete with tennis. And you say, how'd they know that? Well, they know that because they read your email. They took the keywords from your email and turned them into marketing keywords, put them in your cookies. And when you landed on the dog adoption website and they were running ads by Google, they look at your cookies and they say, oh, here's some interest that this person has. And then the system automatically serves you up advertisements that directly pertain to the contents of your email. So, you know, from a marketing perspective, it's brilliant. I have an undergraduate degree in marketing, and I can certainly appreciate the interest that marketers have in that. But from a consumer privacy perspective, and ultimately from a liberty perspective, it's extremely worrisome. And I think that's why as people become more and more aware of this, they really, you know, begin to want some alternatives and maybe to put the brakes on some of this, because it is potentially, it's not just annoying, it's not just offensive, it's not just insulting, but it is potentially down the road, you know, it could be dangerous from a human rights perspective.
It's a subversion, really, of anything that's an open system, a whole system. It's a subversion of what we consider to be our basic freedoms. It's a subversion because the public doesn't really know what's going on in the background. If the public knew what was going on in the background, I'm not sure most of the public would still play ball. Now, there's a lot of people that would say, I have nothing that's a secret, as if you have to have a secret to protect your privacy. But the reality is, as new knowledge and discovery comes into the world, and our realities start to change, and we start to put pieces of things together and start to listen to our inner voice, then our areas of interest are going to change, our remedies are going to change, our solutions are going to change, our habits will change. And the fact is that we have a very stifling homeland security apparatus. We also have Echelon, which reminds me what you're referring to that's going on, like the Echelon of the internet.
Well, you know, it's interesting you should bring that up, because Echelon is really a system of looking for keywords in people's communications, and Carnivore and all those programs. The announcement just last week, actually the story broke by the Washington Post and then later followed up by the New York Times, that Google is working with the NSA to actually get into Google systems and figure out how to protect them from another hack or against another hack like what happened with the Chinese government. You know, that raises some serious issues, because the NSA has a very bad track record for breaking U.S. law in order to invade people's privacy. The NSA, the National Security Administration, is charged, they're essentially, they do two things. They protect security, and they are a surveillance organization. You know, you could call them the National Surveillance Administration. That's what they do. That's their job. Now, they were caught a couple years back for installing a secret room
inside AT&T,
in a switching center in San Francisco, in AT&T's central office, with AT&T's permission. And they were listening to, scanning, and observing and capturing data on every single phone call, every single email, and every single web browsing session that occurred through AT&T's system. That was blatantly illegal. They were sued for it. They were certainly, it was a huge scandal. The NSA initially denied it. AT&T denied it. A whistleblower had the evidence and brought it forward. But, you know, this is not a company, or excuse me, this is not a national organization that many people trust, because they have openly violated United States law. And I find it so ironic that you can violate law in order to find lawbreakers. I just think, wait a minute, where's the problem here? If we're a nation so concerned about abiding by law, then why is it that our law enforcement agencies themselves feel so cavalier about breaking the law? Do they have no respect at all for us? And I think the answer is they probably don't. So now you've got the NSA deeply involved with Google, getting access to their root level servers in order to understand how this Chinese hack took place. But that raises a lot of questions for me. You know, the NSA would love to get its hands, if they're a surveillance organization that you know, was content with one little room on one switching center, wouldn't they be in heaven to get their hands on all of the information that Google has amassed over the years and continues to amass on a daily basis about everybody who uses that service? So I think, you know, when you start talking about Echelon and Carnivore, it is, I believe, just a matter of time before the federal government or governments around the world turn to Google and say, you have more information than anybody has ever had ever on people. You have, you know, what is it, Interpol, the international law enforcement community organization? They have nothing compared to what Google has. Google knows everything. They're the all-seeing eye. And so obviously the NSA wants to work with them. Obviously Homeland Security would love to work with them. It's extremely worrisome. And, you know, if people do say, I have nothing to hide, let me ask people a couple of questions. Think about the sorts of things that you tell your search engine that you would not tell your coworkers or even your sister or even your mother or even your spouse potentially. You know, a woman has a miscarriage. What does she do? She logs on to Google looking for solace or medical information or support. That's something she might not share at work or might not tell her sister. You go to the doctor and you're diagnosed with something. You get a prescription. What do? You get home. You log on to your search engine. You look up that drug. You look up that medical condition. You look up the side effects. Now they know that about you. That's probably not something you're going to want wear on your sleeve and tell everybody. You
political
are
parties
with your spouse. You know,
how about political parties?
Yeah,
like,
well,
political parties.
Absolutely.
That's also supposed to be private.
Absolutely. Yeah, medical, political, legal. Looking up information about a great example. I was just doing a radio interview a couple of days ago, and my host said, I just did a whole bunch of information about Vermont and secession, you know, about states that might want to leave the union. Well, I could see a little bit down the road that even discussing that could be grounds for, you know, being considered a traitor or being investigated. And yet Google or Yahoo or wherever he searched that, they've got a record that he looked that up. You know, and so there's a very different, it's a very different thing between saying, I'm not breaking the law, and therefore I'm not worried about what you're searching for, versus simply saying, what I search for is private, and it doesn't mean I'm breaking the law. If my teenage son, not that I have one, but if I did, you know, and he needed drug rehab, and I searched for that on a search engine, you know, there's another piece of information that I wouldn't want the whole world to know. Or, you know, if I were losing my job and looking up unemployment benefits, that's not something I want to reveal widely. So you don't have to be doing something wrong to say I have a legitimate right to keep the contents of my own life between my four walls, and the contents of my own mind private. You know, that's not about I've got something to hide. That's just about it's none of your business. You know, I want to be able to grieve or mourn or investigate or think or pursue my own intellectual pursuits in privacy and anonymity. So that's why I encourage everybody, please, we've come up with a 7-day start page challenge, and I found it takes about that long to accustom yourself to not using these big search engines.
It does. You know, it definitely does. And I want you to know that even I have to train myself not to always go on Google. In fact, when many people are interviewed, they say, well, Google this or Google that. The other thing is, I was going to say to you, is that Google has not only created their own browser, their own mail system, now they're also creating their own cloud computing.
Yeah, their own operating system is coming out here shortly.
Correct. And their own cloud computing, which means that of our data, everything, will be on their servers.
Absolutely.
And I think that once you have a trespassing that begins at the ground floor, you're feeding the beast of trespassing. Furthermore, when political candidates, for example, are being highlighted or supported by Google, you can bet that they can alter public persuasion through algorithms, through advertising, through redirecting the attention of the public. It's got to be possible.
Yeah, or down the road, let me paint an even more frightening scenario, and I think Google's involvement in China was a perfect case in point. If you were in China and you searched on Google for Tiananmen Square, you would not get back anything, any tanks. You wouldn't see that guy standing in front of the tank. You wouldn't hear one word about the massacre. All you would get back would be, you know, directions. You'd see happy families picnicking at Tiananmen Square today. You would not get anything back on the massacre. And the reason for that is that the Chinese government recognizes that the place we go now for information is the Internet. We go on to search engines. And so a condition of doing business in China, the Chinese government says, you will not allow any Chinese citizen access to these stories. They cut off completely. Google censored entirely Human Rights Watch, which does fabulous work, but they've also exposed some misdeeds of the communist Chinese government. If you went on to Google or Yahoo or Bing from within China and you looked up Human Rights Watch, you would get nothing back. The New York Times was censored off of there. The BBC was censored off of there. Radio Free Asia censored right off the Internet. And what's fascinating about this is, let's say that you wanted to blacklist Catherine Albrecht, me. you could simply say to the search engines, you know, if somebody searches for RFID, which is a topic where you'll find my name, or if someone searches for my name or my radio show, you'll just not return any results. And at that point, it's like being digital redlined. It's like somebody just wrote a line right through my name and I'm gone. I don't exist anymore.
Like a blacklist through Hollywood.
Yeah, it's like 1984. You know, the job that Winston Smith, a protagonist in that movie, had was he took things from the news and dropped them down the memory hole. He literally put them into a place where they were burned up, and you could no longer find them after that. They changed history. Well, the search engines, because they are the place where we go for information, have that power. And on that, let me put in one more plug for StartPage. The thing I love about StartPage is that they are a meta search engine. They're kind of like a proxy for you. They go out, you type in your search term, they go out to 11 different search engines, and they get those search engines' results, and then they serve them back to you. So you're not just relying on one search engine like the Chinese people on Google. You have the best results from all 11 search engines. So even if the government decided to censor a particular topic off of one or two or three top search engines, StartPage would still return it to you because they're going out to even the smaller search engines and getting their results back. So it's kind of neat. You know, it's a way, and by the way, those search engines don't see you. They only see StartPage. So it's sort of like StartPage works like your valet. They go out
like
for
that.
You know, capture all of the answers from the other search engines and then serve them back to you privately. So it's really a very, very cool service. And what I was going to say about that 7-day challenge is that's how long it takes. It's like quitting smoking. It's like, you know, going on a diet. The first couple of days are really hard, but then once you get into the groove and you hit your stride, then you get much better at it. So what I encourage people to do, and I'm stunned at the number of people who will hear me say, you know, do an interview like this. They'll hear all about it. They'll agree that this is dangerous. And then 10 minutes later, they're back on Google or they're back in Yahoo.
But remember that part of that has to do with the fact that we have been subconsciously programmed to go to Google.
It's a verb. Google this, Google that,
exactly.
Google me, Google you.
Exactly.
Google
it's almost, yeah. It's its own meme.
It is.
Yeah, it's programmed in our subconscious. It's already in the reptilian part of the brain. That's what part of branding does. We do it whether we want to do it or not.
Isn't that wild?
Yep.
Yeah. It's the reason why these companies spend so much money, you know, to get the advertising and to get your awareness. And, the biggest coup that Google could have ever scored was turning itself into a verb. You know, Google this, Google that. Oh, I'll Google you. I'll Google, you know. I was just reading something the other day that said you ought to Google yourself periodically to make sure that blah, blah, blah. You know, I thought, gosh, no, start page yourself. Come on. We need to break out of the mentality of that because it really, you know, every time we say Google something, we're transmitting this message to all the people who hear us.
Absolutely. Do you want to make some time right now for RFID education, or would you prefer to do that on a separate show?
I think I'll hit that on a separate time. I'd love to talk about Shadow Government, though, our new film.
Share about it.
Okay, yeah, I'm super excited that we've got a brand new blockbuster documentary film out that covers a lot of this stuff. And, you know, as we all realize when we try to talk about these kinds of issues, and I'm sure that you're totally aware of exactly what I'm talking about, Kim, when you try to say, look out for this or be careful of that, there's a certain response that you get where people want to, you know, go to their kitchen drawer, get out the Reynolds wrap and make you a little hat and say, you're paranoid. This isn't real. This is conspiracy theory. And because we've all had that response, we wanted to put together a film that would expose all of this in a way that no one could argue with, that is absolutely ironclad, airtight, bounce a quarter off of it. And we wanted to do it in a way that was entertaining and interesting at the same time. And the result is our blockbuster new documentary, Shadow Government, which is flying off the shelves. It's been fabulously reviewed. It's hot off the presses. And what we did, it's a 90-minute film where you've got the story of a guy going about his day he, I don't want to give away the story, but you see all the ways he's watched from the time he gets up in the morning till he gets to work, you know, in his car, in his cell phone, et cetera, et cetera. And then he gets a very disturbing phone call at work where the FBI calls him in and wants to have a discussion with him over something perfectly legal that he did, but they want to ask some questions and say, you know, are these the actions of a peace-loving person? And it's just like the MIAC report, you know, potential domestic terrorists because you were doing something that they didn't like, even though it was probably a good thing you were doing. In the film, to get around this sort of black helicopter sort of stereotype that people have about these topics, we brought in some of the top-notch academic experts in the country. So shadow government has interviews with Harry Lewis, the former dean of Harvard College and a good friend of mine. He's in there talking about the research he did for his new film or his new book, Blown to Bits. You've got LaTanya Sweeney, who is a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, talking about her research into these invasions of privacy. You've got G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, an expert on the Federal Reserve, talking about the Federal Reserve and the sort of move towards global banking and global government. You've got Michael Shaw, who's an expert on Agenda 21, talking about how the UN wants to control whether you can cut down a tree in your backyard or whether you can drink water from your own well. You know, it's just expert after expert sharing their information, their research, in a way that's absolutely unimpeachable. And by the time you get to the end of the film, you are really, there's no way that you can say this is not happening. And I think that's the kind of wake-up call that we need today. I would love to see this film, Shadow Government, in the hands of every person in the country. I wish I had a budget that I could mail it out literally to every household in America and encourage people to sit down and watch it. And the reason I love it and I know it has been successful as a film is not only, like I said, it's flying off the shelves and it's gotten great reviews, but I've got a volunteer for my daily radio show who's been working with me for about a year. And she's a high school student. She has a friend who's a high school student. She said this guy would constantly tease her and make fun of her and say, "Why are you wasting your time on all this black helicopter stuff?" She gave him a copy of Shadow Government recently. He rolled his eyes, but he sat down and watched it. And after he watched this film, he came to her and he said, "I want to apologize to you. I have been a real jerk. I have been totally wrong. You were right all along, and I want to know how I can get involved and join you in the fight." And Wow. That, you know, waking up young people like that, that is, you know, that gives me goosebumps. That's why I do the work that I do. And that's why everybody listening, I would love for you to get a copy of Shadow Government. Let me tell you where you can find it. You can you can see all the trailers and excerpts if you go to shadowgovernment-movie.com. You can also go to Cloud 10 Pictures. That's who produced it. I was the supervising producer on it, by the way. But Cloud 10 with a T-E-N, cloud10pictures.com. You can watch a online version of it if you go to cleantv.com. I think it's $3.99 to watch the full 90-minute movie online.
That's great.
Or you could get a signed copy from me if you go to katherinealbrecht.com. It's a little bit tougher because you got to print out the order form and wait a couple of days because I don't do credit cards. But katherinealbrecht.com under products, and I'll get you a signed copy of it. But regardless of how you do it, get this video into your hands, watch the movie, and then please pass it on. Share it with a young person. Share it with somebody else who needs to know this. Because unless we wake up and realize that, you know, there's a reason they call it the net. It's catching us. There's a reason they call it the web. You know, webs are about trapping people. There's a reason these technologies have the names that they have. And unless we wake up to the web that's being built around us to essentially destroy and eliminate our freedoms ultimately, it's going to be too late. So it's absolutely imperative that people wake up to these things. So my advice, I got three pieces of advice. Switch from Google Start Page or Bing. Take the 7-day Start Page challenge. And after 7 days, if you are not content with StartPage, then go back to being observed by Big Brother. But I'll tell you this, after 7 days, think back and say, what searches did I just do over this last week that they now don't know, that are now just lost into the sands of time, just like footprints on a beach, washed away? And it's such a fabulous feeling to know that nobody's looking over your shoulder. So that's my first advice, StartPage.com, S-T-A-R-T, StartPage.com. My second piece of advice, please get and watch a copy of Shadow Government and pass it along to somebody else. Hold a screening in your home. Show it to your relatives, whoever you can get to sit down and watch this movie. That's online at shadowgovernment-movie.com or cleantv.com. And KatherineAlbrecht.com is my third piece of advice. If people are interested in these themes, I do a daily two-hour radio show where I talk about all of these topics, RFID, new technologies. We've been talking about the census. We talk about health. We talk about agribusiness and GMO foods. We talk about the whole big picture of all of the threats that we face across the board with a focus on technology. And you can find my radio show at KatherineAlbrecht.com, and I'll spell that. It's KatherineAlbrecht. And my last name is Albrecht, Albrecht. And on that website, you can find a link to our best-selling book, Spy Chips, all about RFID. I know we didn't get a chance to talk about that, but
I'd like to invite you back. What do you think about YouTube? Because it's obviously owned by Google, controlled by Google.
The entire internet is now owned and controlled by Google, it seems. You know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but
not much.
To any website, as I pointed out earlier, any website that's running Google Ads, except Startpage, is already watching you and reporting on you and adding cookies to your browser and scanning the existing cookies there. YouTube obviously is no exception. So any place that you're going on the net that is controlled in any way by Google is keeping an eye on you. So yes, they know the videos that you've watched. They know, they know what sorts of things you've clicked on. And they know the difference between the kind of person who's looking up Lady Gaga and American Idol and Dancing with the Stars versus the kind of person who's looking up secession and RFID and third-party candidates. You know, so all of that information is logged. You know, they are watching it. So there are some other video services out there, and I'd love to see them get a little bit bigger. I'd love to see something like Startpage become available for video that absolutely promises that they don't record any of your information. But as of now, unfortunately, you know, YouTube is where the free streaming is. They've got the capacity, and you know, unfortunately, that's where most everybody has to go.
Actually, there's Vimeo, and there's mm-hmm. another one. There's another couple that are out there.
But Vimeo, you know, Vimeo is also, I believe, that they're owned by a competing search engine to Google. And I had my notes here. I was quickly trying to find them. But, yeah, I believe Vimeo is also owned by a search engine.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You really have to watch the details.
Yeah, and that's it. Unless somebody's promising you that they're not recording you, it's a pretty safe bet that they are. I mean, that's why, you know, I really have tried to bring attention to Startpage, because it's actually, you know, it's an open policy. They plainly state, here are our policies. We do not record you. We do not observe you. Here's the evidence. Here's the certificate. Here's the third-party audit. And unless a company is really going to make privacy a forefront and a marketing, you know, part of their marketing position, where they're actually going to speak openly about it and try to tell you about it, then, you know, all bets are off.
I agree. One other question in terms of real application. Is there a way to put a link or some type of a picture of Startpage on our website? Is there like a little Startpage image that can be put on the website?
If you go to MySpace, we Startpage is up on MySpace, Facebook, and
But I mean like
Twitter.
Our website. I'd like to put an image.
If you go to the MySpace page, there's a whole bunch of little Startpage advertising banners there.
Great. Great.
And I can also send you a couple of them. But yeah, we'd love it if you'd be willing to do that.
Oh, absolutely, I'm willing to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking to Dr. Katherine Albrecht. She is the U.S. Media Relations Head of a wonderful search engine called Startpage, where you actually have your own privacy. She's also the author of Spy Chips, How Major Corporations and Governments Plan to Track Your Every Purchase and Watch Your Every Move. And she is one of the producers of a new documentary that's supposedly flying off the shelves, and I believe is flying off the shelves, Shadow Government. Please see her work at spychips.com, at KatherineAlbrecht.com, and you can also get hold of her at startpage.com. Thank you so much for taking your time out of your day today to educate the public about the moves and the actions that are within our dominion right now.
Thank you so much, Kim. And I just wanted to point out really quickly that I did look up Vimeo, and they are owned by a company called Interactive Corporation, or IAC, which also owns Ask.com, which is a search engine. So just to answer that, I didn't want to leave that thread hanging.
Wow.
But yeah, Vimeo is owned by a search engine competitor to Google, and I think it's a pretty safe bet that they're also doing many of the same practices as Google, although not on the same scale because they're just not as big of a company. But yes. And thank you, Kim, so much for the opportunity to get the word out about this crucial information. And I really appreciate your efforts on the air as a radio host bringing this information to the public because, you know, that's the way we're going to wake up people and open eyes. So thank you and bless you for your work.
Bless you, too.